I'm Rhea Butcher, the Lady James Dean, as I'm known. And this is Wham Bam Pow. I am the interim host, as Cameron is out on the road, Jack Kerouac or Viggo Mortensen style, whichever you prefer. And I am hosting in her stead the show that you love, Wham Bam Pow, a podcast about movies, action, and sci-fi specifically. We love them. This is what we do. I am joined, as always, by the other R in the R&R episode that this is, Mr. Ricky Carmona, the Afro spokesperson and funny dude himself. How are you doing, Ricky
What
Carmona?
It do, girl? What it do, people? How are you, Rhea Butcher?
I'm so good, yeah? But I really want to hear about you. What's going on in your life?
All is well. I had a, I can talk about my weekend for a second.
Cool.
I had a very good weekend. I did some shows on Friday. I was at the Improv for the Van Jam show.
Boom, the Van Jam.
That was a
always
lot of
a good
fun. Good
jam
times.
Van.
With Craig Robinson from Hot Tub Time Machine showed up and did a set, which was great.
Sci-fi comedy.
Sci-fi comedy out there. Saturday, I was at the Meltdown show. Their Three Truths, One Lie. Thank you to Ed Salazar and Kristen Studdard for putting that wonderful show together. And then Sunday, I was a true American and watched football and drank all day.
Awesome.
That's why I live in this country.
Well, I hear the Cleveland Browns won, which is shocking to me.
Did they
despite
win a game?
The fact that I'm wearing a Cleveland Browns hoodie.
You're rocking the gear.
I'm pretty sure they beat the Ravens, which is weird to me because, hey, it's Cleveland. We don't win anything.
You know, I'm pretty sure I watched that game. And I know I
don't
mentioned
remember.
That. Yeah. Remember when I talked about me drinking?
That's how the Cleveland Browns go. We just keep playing. Nobody cares. Awesome. Well, today we're going to do a brief review of Strange Days, the Catherine Bigelow pre-po-apocalyptic thriller. That's what I like to call it.
Pre-po?
It's not really a post-apocalyptic thriller.
Oh.
And it's not really it's a pre-po-apocalyptic thriller.
Mm.
So I've coined that. There's a trademark in my notes. Don't anybody steal it.
My favorite pose, Edgar Allan.
Yes.
I'm not
Huffpo.
Huffpo, thank you. And Pre-Po.
There you go. My favorite pro or po, I mean,
yes.
Or a pre-pawn.
Ooh.
Huffpo. Mm. I don't know. Too many po. Okay. Anyway, so we're going to give you guys some news. Ricky's got some listener emails that we're going to talk about later. And again, we're going to talk about Strange Days at the end, and that is on Netflix Instant. You can totally watch it. And when we talk about it, we're probably going to just spoil it because we like to talk about movies. So you can pause it when we get to it. We'll give you a heads up that we're going to be talking about that movie. You can watch it, watch along, or you can just listen to us because we're hilarious.
Aren't we, though?
How does that sound? I think that sounds pretty great. And I want to take a minute up top to talk about something that I think sounds great, which is we got a really awesome shout out by Glenn Weldon on the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast. And it was a real nice surprise to hear that. And such glowing words. And we've gotten some new listeners out of it. And they've been very vocal that they're new to us and really kind. And it was just so great. And I just wanted to say thanks to everybody on that show. I think Ricky wants to say thanks as well.
Thank you very much. Big shout outs and thank you. Yeah, that was a great way. Was it Friday?
I think it was Friday,
sent me an instant message in caps.
I've been off of the instant messaging just to be a generally healthy person. I quit drinking, smoking, and G-chat to try to be better in my life, but I had to pop on and let Ricky know.
Were you hardcore into that G-chat, girl?
G-chat. I was getting into crazy G-chat rings and like... And just doing it all the time, like
how many circles were you a member of?
Yeah, too many hangouts. Can't stop hanging out.
Oh man.
I've been a fan of Glenn Weldon's like just general presence and thoughts and his Twitter for a while. So that really made me stoked, and I know Cameron was really stoked to hear it as well. And another shout out to @Turchasky. I think that's how it goes. For letting us know that was on there, which was a nice way to wake up on Friday morning. And then I also want to say a shout out to @CadB, I think. It's CadBII, because she really enjoyed our WNBA rant.
Oh, yeah,
she did. My side of that.
Yes,
so,
she did.
Title IX, y'all. And I'm never going to stop talking about how much I love women's sports, because fundamentals. Fundamentals are entertaining, too. God damn it. You guys like seeing layups? They're good at it. They're good. Okay. And when has the men's soccer team won anything? Thank you. We'll be back with some movie news in a minute.
Hello,
All right, so let's get into some movie news because some fun stuff happened recently. I think the biggest big news item that dropped recently.
Rhea, don't get too hip on me.
Sorry.
Don't get too hip on me.
I'm working on my voiceover. No, I'm not. I'm just being an idiot. Sorry, I'm still fired up about the WNBA.
Yeah. I don't know if I asked last week. Can you tell me again, what is the WNBA?
Oh, my God. It is the Winning National Basketball Association.
Boom.
That is what it is.
Boom.
Cleveland Rockers. Always in my heart. All right. On to the news. So the biggest news, I think, is that the new Star Wars capsule that we're moving into has a new writer. They've replaced Michael Arndt, who was on Catching Fire, and he also wrote Little Miss Sunshine. He was going to be one of the main writers of Star Wars, and they replaced him with none other than Lawrence Kasdan, the writer of Empire Strikes Back. Ricky, mm-hmm. Is there any hope? I have that in caps. I can't even watch, like... This is not me saying, like, oh, I can't bring myself to watch. It is me saying I literally cannot watch the originals mm-hmm. as they were. So why would I continue to, like, keep watching this franchise?
Yeah. I think we had talked before about the last conversation I remember us having was the just this anytime something happens now. Here's this news. So-and-so is thinking about maybe auditioning for Star Wars. This news that's happening now with the screenwriter bringing in Lawrence Kasdan and Michael Arndt, that's news I'm interested in.
Yeah.
Okay, now that I want to know about.
But do you think it's just a commercial, though? Because honestly, all this stuff just feels like
yes.
like tiny little commercials.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Instead of it being real, actual moves.
Yes,
you know?
And I do think it's a little bit of fan-pleasing.
Yeah.
But because Empire is such a great movie, and Lawrence Kasdan has, man... If I'm wrong about this, I'm going to be very upset
hey,
at myself.
No
but
phones
I'm
in the booth,
I know.
You guys. I'm
going
to
go out on the limb and say Lawrence Kasdan maybe wrote one of the Indiana Jones movies or helped with the script on one of them.
Yeah, that's not...
I could be wrong on that, but I feel like... I feel pretty solid about it.
If it was Temple of Doom, I'm going to be real weirded out.
I don't think he wrote like a full screenplay for one, but I'm pretty
like
sure he worked
credit?
In them. He's in that universe of like Spielberg and Lucas, especially like during the 80s.
Yeah. I feel like you're right about that.
Yeah. He's involved with them. So I wasn't surprised.
Yeah.
I was excited when I heard that. I was like, okay, cool.
So
I'm on board with this.
You're on board with this. Does this make you more on board with the trilogy that's coming up? That they're now like saying is going to be, it's going to be out next year. Like they're
shooting
next year, right?
Today, they're supposed to.
Yeah.
Today, I also read that the star of 12 Years a Slave, Chiwetel
Ejiofor?
Yeah.
Chiwetel Ejiofor. Yep. Something.
That guy.
Ejiofor.
Is in talks to join the cast.
Oh, wow.
I think he's Yeah, he's an amazing actor.
He's great. And hey, he's
I'm on
British.
Board with that. He is British as well.
Whoa.
And he's also just not like the typical, hey, this pretty young person is auditioning for Star Wars. Great. Awesome.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
No, that's awesome. So you're into it.
I'm into it. I'm okay
really
with it.
On the fence.
Yeah.
Very hesitant. I feel like I would much rather watch the Muppet Babies Star Wars than the new ones.
I would be all
That's
about
just
the
where...
Muppet Babies. Now you didn't drop that before. Now you're saying something.
Yeah, now I've brought you over to the dark side, which is watching the Muppet Babies Star Wars. Cool. Well, I think we're both fans of the website /film.
Yes.
I go to them for a lot of our movie news. And they posted an interview, which I didn't get a chance to read, but I loved just the title of their interview page, which was director Carl Erik Rinch. Describes his movie 47 Ronin, which is the new Keanu Reeves mm-hmm. samurai epic that's coming out, as Kurosawa on meth. So I don't think I ever want to see a movie on meth. Like, nothing on meth. Let's maybe not have meth. Like, Breaking Bad's gone. Let's not see
anything
on
let's
meth.
Let's not travel back to that jacked up teeth.
Yeah. I just imagine Keanu like completely falling apart and like selling all of his swords.
Sure.
Just
sure.
to get some meth. Okay, so it's settled. All right. So our last piece of movie news is Jamie Alexander. This is also from Slash Film, which thanks guys. She plays Sif in Thor 2, who has maybe sort of kind of said that she might think of playing Wonder Woman
mm-hmm.
because she maybe kind of knows the storyline to Batman and Superman. And I say to that, you know what? Just make a goddamn Wonder Woman movie already. There's so much talk of Wonder Woman movies. Just make a Wonder Woman movie already.
What interested me, what you said there, she knows about the Batman Superman movie.
Yeah.
Did she mean that, like, yes, there's going to be some alluding to Wonder Woman
in this Batman
Superman movie?
I think she's saying that Wonder Woman is going to be, like, in that movie.
Maybe she's going
to
be
that she's
showing
also
up.
Talking to both Marvel and DC about being Wonder Woman. Just cast Gina Carano and Kerry Washington as Wonder Woman and just be done with it. Just make it.
How much of this is also just actors now, whether it's them or their agents, kind of like tossing, like just dipping their toe in the water. Hey, I'd be interested in being in that movie if they were making that movie. And I just so happen to hear that they're making that movie, which I wouldn't mind being in.
Yeah.
It's I also kind of feel like that's
Wonder Woman and bringing out like backup singers.
I would be. I'm on board with seeing a Wonder Woman movie.
Yeah.
I got in a big argument with some friends the other day because they were like, Wonder Woman's a terrible character. She does everything right. Yeah, well, that's what superheroes do.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
They don't always, not all of them do everything right, but they, for the most part, they kind of like are trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
So I'm on board with seeing a Wonder Woman movie. I'd be okay with that.
We could make a dark Wonder Woman. Also, she could wear like maybe a jacket instead of like her breastplate that doesn't fit.
Sure, absolutely.
Get her some lasers on those bracelets. And she has a lasso, for Christ's sake.
She does have the lasso of truth.
She has the lasso of truth and an invisible plane. Who doesn't want to see that? I, for one, want to see that.
She also is going to try out for the WNBA. That's just what I've heard.
W and WNBA stands for.
Boom.
Wonder Woman National Basketball Association. There it is. Hollywood, just make it. All right. We'll be back with some awesome listener emails in just a second.
Happy summer, everybody. Griffin McElroy here, the youngest of the McElroy brothers.
I'm Travis McElroy, the middlest brother.
And I'm beloved performer Jimmy Buffett.
He is not. But we do a podcast together called My Brother and My Brother and Me. It's a comedy advice show. You can find it at mbmbam.com, maximumfun.org, or just search for it on iTunes.
I love you, Sacramento!
You're not even on a stage.
Griffin, are you watching the shrimp? They're beginning to boil.
So join us this summer as we waste an hour of your life that you'll never get back ever again.
You know, I know something about wasting away again in Margaritaville. I'm beloved.
I know you are.
Oh, man, you guys, I'm really excited about this because it's a brand spanking new segment, which we're still trying to figure out the name on this one, so I'm going to give it a shot.
Here we go.
Here we go. This is the Wham Bam Pow Pod fanny pack bag of listener emails. So let us know what you think about that name and send us some emails. And Ricky's got your emails here that he's going to throw at me and we're going to chat about them. I'm really excited.
That name started off going real high.
High.
We were a lot of creative words
fanny
right at the top of that.
Bag.
And then what was it at the end?
Fanny back, peck, peck, peck,
fanny
peck,
back,
peck,
back, back.
I have no idea. I just turned into a chicken.
We got a little lazy at the end. We're working on it. It is a work in progress.
It's a work in progress.
Just as life is. And that's the deep moment of Wham Bam Pow. just as Rio was saying, want to read off some emails from listeners that we've gotten. Thank you very much to everybody who's been writing in emails.
We should take a second and let you guys know up top, what's the email address that they can reach us at?
The email address that you can reach us at, you can reach us at whambampow@maximumfun.org.
Shoot an email there. We all read it.
That's right. We'll read them. We'll reply to you as well. Send us movie suggestions. First letter comes to us from Alex B. from lovely international Sydney, Australia.
Ooh, down under.
That's right. Not known to rock a microphone, but she's all right. You know how that goes. And she writes to us, hey, Cameron, Rhea, Ricky, and Lindsay.
Woo, everybody.
Yes. Always feel free to also not just reach us on Twitter, but go ahead and holler at Lindsay as well, because she's great. She wanted to send us an email saying that she loves the show, and she's wondering if we plan to do a review of one of her favorite movies, Alien, the first and the best.
Yeah, the one and only.
The one and only, yes.
Really?
We probably are not going to do Alien because, as Rhea knows, we do movies that are either in the theater or movies that are on Netflix.
Yep.
because
and that's for like ease of use,
exactly.
So you guys can get to it quickly. But you know, I mean, you never know.
That's right. If it ends up being on Netflix,
yeah,
I would totally go. And,
or if
go
enough
back
people berate us on Twitter and say, "Hey, we all own it. We want to hear what you guys think about it."
Then I am 100% on board with that.
Hint, hint, guys. Berate us on Twitter to talk about Alien, because I never tire of talking about Alien. I'll even talk about 3 and 4.
Man!
Specifically 4. He's... I like 4 better than 3. It's weird.
I am not going to comment on any of that. This next email comes to us from Philip O. Philip O, I don't know where you're from, but I bet you it's beautiful there.
It's probably cool.
This is a good one. I like this one because it's a question regarding your thoughts, Rhea. He says, "Hi, Wham Bam Pow. Rhea's worst part of Dread was that she missed seeing it in 3D. How do you all feel about 3D movies in general? I have my own opinions, but I'd like to hear a discussion that goes beyond it gives me headache or stuff comes right at you." How much does it, he put that in quotes too, so we could read it in that voice. Very well done. How much does it matter if a movie was conceived and filmed in 3D versus converted to 3D partway through production or years later? Are some films better suited to 3D than others? Which directors make the best, most creative use of 3D? Rhea?
Yes.
What do you think of...
I'll take the third part first. I have completely changed my tune on 3D because I had originally sort of hated it when it started. And I think the first movie that I saw in 3D that I was like, oh, hell yeah, was Drive Angry, which I still love that movie. Like, it has the ridiculous gags of stuff going in your face, but I could tell that they did it on purpose. It was for fun. I really liked that. And of course, Avatar, I don't like that movie. I think it's pretty boring. But what he's doing with 3D, it's like immersive. It feels like there's space. I really enjoyed that, and I really enjoyed Gravity, which we actually got kind of bad seats for Gravity, and there were people in front of us, so it kind of broke the field, the immersive field that everybody's talking about. But I feel like had I not had that experience, I probably would have had an actual panic attack. So I'm actually kind of on board with 3D. Most of the movies that I'd seen or that I have seen so far in 3D have been great. The only one that was a little weird was Jurassic Park. Because that movie was clearly not, like, I'm not really into taking the older movies and repurposing them. I loved it being on IMAX. That was a great experience. But seeing, like, something, I would hate to see Alien in 3D because it's not shot with that even in mind.
Yeah.
There's people in front of the camera to create space that way, which then when you put that in 3D, it makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel about 3D. If it's shot with it in mind, if it's shot using the cameras they need, you know, because I don't think Gravity was shot using 3D cameras. I think they just knew they were going to do it.
I think it was one of those same deals as Avatar where he was waiting for the technology to catch up so it can be made a specific way.
Yeah.
I don't know if cameras were built for 3D, but it was definitely intended.
Like they knew.
To be, yeah, they
it's
knew.
It's going to be on IMAX.
Yeah,
it's
and he
be on
knew
3D.
He wanted it
we're gonna
in 3D.
We're going to blow it out and we're going to make people go crazy.
Exactly.
In the movie theater.
We are going to jack up the sales of anxiety.
So I hope that answers most of those questions. I mean, I'm kind of into it. It doesn't make me sick.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me feel good. I like it. I feel like I'm really in the movie. I like it more than those D-Box seats. I think that is some bullshit. Also, the theaters that they just turn the music up really loud. No, thank you. I'd rather have the eyeball experience.
Yeah.
Although when you turn your head a little bit, it does make me a little queasy. But hey, I'm fine with it.
Here's how I feel about 3D. I think we're past a point now of they are just making movies to make them in 3D because it was hot for a minute. And there was just all these crazy, this is in 3D, this is in 3D. I'll even throw Jurassic Park 3D in there. It was unnecessary to it, and it got in the way of the movie, of the story. Regardless if it's in 3D, you're still going to see a story.
I think to see Jurassic Park re-released in the theaters, I still would have been saying, holy shit, the same amount I was
in
3D. You know, it's just like seeing something again on the big screen. I'm more a fan of IMAX, I think, than 3D.
I was not a fan of the 3D in Jurassic Park at all. I'd have preferred just watching it either straight in IMAX or just put it on a really big screen. I mean, that movie is larger than life as is, so I'm okay with that. I am on board with movies in 3D where it is used to elevate what's happening in a story. Like Gravity, I love the 3D in Avatar. I'm not crazy about the movie, but man,
I feel like we're soul sisters on this.
I think we are soul sisters.
3D soul sisters. But one movie I would like to see re-released in 3D and IMAX is Sister Act.
Is that right? You know, I never feel I get as close to Whoopi as I'd like to when I watch her. Or Kathy Najimy.
Exactly. Or Maggie Smith.
Or Harvey
or
Keitel.
That mousy lady that is the tiny one with the really great soprano.
Who's got the really, dope voice.
Well, I think we've come to some great conclusions here on our first listener wham bam pow pod bag of fanny packness or whatever this is called.
I think we're going to figure out a new name.
Yeah, we'll have a new name.
That
if
might
you
be
guys
the
have
kink.
Any, if anything strikes you, send us a new name.
Yes.
We're into it.
Tweet us at
Rhea Butcher and at Ricky Carmona what your ideas are. Awesome. We'll be back in just a minute with our review of Strange Days.
Hey, I'm Jesse Thorne.
Hey, I'm Jordan Morris.
We're actual friends.
And actual professional broadcasters.
We host Jordan Jesse Go, a show about, you know, friendship, being a person.
Yeah, we run the full spectrum, from feelings to some of the most vulgar jokes you can imagine.
And honestly, putting it that way makes it seem like it's half and a half. At best, 25-75.
It's definitely mostly vulgarity, but it's a pleasant, friendly vulgarity from two guys who went to a reasonably prestigious UC college.
Why don't you try the show out now? Grab one with one of your favorite comedians like a Rob Corddry or Rob Delaney or whatever.
Or somebody awesome that maybe you haven't heard of yet.
Yeah, go to MaximumFun.org or your favorite podcasting app and download an episode of Jordan Jesse Go now.
Awesome. We are back. And number one, I just want to say that Mr. Ricky Carmona was correct in his Lawrence Kasdan pull of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Thank you.
Lindsay Pavlis, producer outside of the booth, used her phone outside of the booth.
From three-point land, she came in with that shot.
From outside of the Ark. Can you believe it? She let us know that he was absolutely 100% correct. And now I remember seeing the font, the real, like, sand dune-y sort of a font at the beginning of that movie.
Yeah.
Great job.
I felt pretty good about it.
I know.
But when you feel, you know, when you just throw it down, that's when you realize you're wrong.
People are sometimes like, that's exactly. When you're arrogant about it, you're always going to be wrong.
Exactly.
And if you love the things that you're talking about, you hesitate because you don't want to be wrong because you know that you're letting everybody down. So everybody, our hesitation is love because we love you and we love our movies.
This has been the deepest episode of Wham Bam Pow.
I feel like Deepak Chopra or Oprah or Topher Grace.
Or Tupac Shakur.
Or Tupac Shakur. Speaking of Tupac Shakur, I feel like that's a really great segue into the dick flick that we're going to be reviewing this week, you guys, which is Strange Days, currently available on Netflix Instant. So if you guys want to watch that, pause our podcast, go watch it. Come on back and listen to it because we're going to pretty much talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a 1995 film by one Catherine Bigelow, hence the Tupac. That was a good year for Tupac, or did he die in 1995? Because I don't want to say that.
No, I don't know what year
well,
it
he was very
90s,
and
died.
Hey, no phones in the booth. So
That's right.
Anyway.
It is very, go ahead and give the synopsis
that's
one of the things
synopsis.
I definitely want to talk about.
Off the top of my head.
Yep.
So we have Ralph Fiennes, who is the star of this film, who is Lenny Nero, a former cop who's turned street hustler, who's selling, like, virtual reality tapes to people. They're using something called a squid, which goes right on your cranium there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you watch the stuff on there, and he's selling that all over the city, which is Los Angeles, and it is the year 1999, and they're trying to party like it.
2000 party over.
Oop, out of time. And it's almost Y2K, which, hey, if you don't know what that means, go look it up, because that was a fun time. all of this stuff is happening. They're really scared about and it's a sort of, like I said, apocalyptic Los Angeles. There's a lot of murder, gang stuff, drug stuff, rap stuff, like just kind of everything, a little bit of an ode to Blade Runner. So hopefully that gives you an idea of what this movie is. This was also, like I said, directed by Catherine Bigelow, screenplay by James Cameron, if you've heard of that gentleman. And I just want to, I mean, I don't know. Okay, so she has made such films as Point Break, Zero Dark Thirty, and Hurt Locker.
And Near Dark.
And, hey, I was going to throw that out at the end.
I'm sorry.
And Near Dark, which is, I'm guessing you've seen.
Love Near Dark. She has that such movie. Fantastic.
Interesting cabinet of movies.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just one of them, which I always forget about this movie. It's one that I've seen a couple times, and we decided, like, yeah, let's do this one. And it is such a, like, first of all, it is such a 1995 movie.
Oh, dated.
It's so dated.
Boom.
But also, I would say it's dated to watch it, but it's not dated in what it's trying to achieve.
Yes.
Like, similar to me in Children of Men, where they, like, don't really set their sights so far ahead that they're like, ooh, flying cars and, like, all this crazy weird clothes and stuff like that. They, like, have stuff from 1995, and it makes sense that they would have stuff from 1995, because I had a lot of stuff from 1995 in 1999.
My first note in the movie is, hey, they got the subways right.
Yeah.
Because these subways that are in that movie are identical. They still look identical to how the subways in LA look right now.
Oh, yeah. And I remember there's a scene where a child is eating some Lay's, like, Ruffles potato chips,
mm-hmm.
and there's a logo on the back of the bag that says, get your own bag. And I remember that specific promotion. It, like, hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, oh, I've had so many sour cream and onion bags of chips from that time period. And I loved, let me just say, Sony Discmans.
Right?
Those little...
Remember those?
Is that what it's called? The Sony... Oh, no, it's no, Sony
the,
Mini Discs.
The Mini Discs, yes.
So sorry.
No, that's all right.
Wrong technology. Oh, those came and went. So
they did. R.I.P.
Yeah.
Mini discs.
It's so hilarious if they would have just had like a slightly different technology, then it would never. That movie would never age.
That's a movie though, where also as well, like seeing how dated it is, and not it's not dated in a corny, ironic way. It felt dated in now looking back, I appreciate what they were doing. In the movie itself,
yeah.
Because, I mean, like, with the whole storyline of Jericho 1.
Yes.
Like,
Who is a rapper.
Who is a rapper, yes. Who gets, he gets murdered by the cops.
Yep.
And that sets off
He gets murdered by two cops who are accidental D'Onofrio and Fichtner, which this is two accidental D'Onofrios in a row.
It's two D'Onofrios in a row.
D'Onofrios,
that's right.
Two D'Onofrios in a row. I feel like we should win a prize or something.
We should call Vincent D'Onofrio.
Some raised eyebrows.
Friend
or
of the show.
Yeah.
it's dated in a, I kind of, looking back, I admire what it is that they were doing. I mean, she was making a movie set in L.A., in 1999, but it came out in the early 90s about a black rapper who gets killed by the cops. That's a pretty big bold choice right there to be able to get that in your movie and get away with it. I don't like you saying the term get away with it, but just the fact that something like that is able to happen in a movie. I was really into that. Because I had completely forgotten about that storyline.
Yes.
It's been a while since I've seen this movie.
I forgot about that storyline. I forgot about another one, which I'll bring up when we get to our sections. But mm-hmm. I feel like this movie, we keep saying it's like so dated, but it actually feels like, to me, like a time capsule of the 90s.
Yes.
Of like 1992 to 1998. Because, I mean, like you were saying, it's the LA riots, it's the Rodney King beatings, it's drug culture, it's like rave culture, it's goth culture, and Y2K.
It's the beginning of that Y2K.
Like, all this weird
going
stuff
down.
That, like, only... I mean, it's so specific. I mean, I guess it's actually, I think, the only other movie that I could think of that's such a perfect time capsule of a specific decade is Back to the Future.
Boo!
So I can't believe I'm even mentioning these two movies in the same breath, but
actually,
man.
Think about the future, the L.A. future in Strange Days, and then think about the L.A. future in Escape from L.A.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Completely, one I admire
Such
it being
a
dated,
gulf. Yeah.
And then the other one, it's like, oh, man.
One is trying for fiction, one is trying for, like, science fiction.
Yes.
And you can really see it.
Yeah.
So I wanted to say like a couple trivia things that I think are pretty great, and then we'll move into our best and worst. In the scene between Mace, who is Angela Bassett, and Lenny, which is Ralph Fiennes, Mace says, right here, right now, which is exactly where Fatboy Slim got the sample that is in the song right here, right now.
Are you serious?
That is from this movie, my mind.
The right here, right now, that's her?
Right here, right now.
Wow.
Yeah, that's her.
That's great.
Isn't that insane?
When I heard
that it's from that movie that, like, nobody really talks about this movie.
When I heard her say that in the movie,
yeah.
I immediately went back to, like, the trailer. I was like, oh, man, because I love the trailer for this movie. I put the teaser trailer. I put the teaser trailer on our Tumblr page, which is a lot of fun. But the actual trailer itself is really great. I did not know that.
It's great.
That's good movie trivia right there.
Oh yeah, IMDb got tons of it. And then also sort of relating to our 3D and gravity talk, which you don't really think about these older movies necessarily in their technology, especially when they don't do super well in the general culture of movies, but she there was no existing camera to get the point of view, the first person sort of shots that she wanted to do. So they had to make a camera that was 8 pounds, and the 35 millimeter camera literally fit in the palm of the hand and featured interchangeable lenses, remote follow focus, and video assist, which was all necessary because the camera had no viewfinder.
Huh.
And the camera was then mounted on a Steadicam-style portable rig, which gave the camera stability and mobility similar to the human eye.
Hmm. I do remember that. I mean, that goes back to her in Point Break as well. There's that really great sequence in Point Break where Keanu Reeves is chasing the bank robbers.
Yeah.
And it's like just this long-ass tracking shot of them like running through a house, through a yard, over a fence.
Yeah.
It seems like she learned, okay, we can do that. Let's take it to what the next level is.
Yeah, each of her movies are sort of building on the more recent or the most recent movie. She definitely she takes tiny steps, but they are also huge steps in what they're doing in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, no,
that's the most vague thing I've ever said in my life, but it made sense to me. And then the last thing I was gonna say is that to me, this has that classic sci-fi structure of, here's a world. Look at this guy. It's really bad. Now it's even worse. He knows too much. Oh, God, will he make it? Oh, there's all this other stuff. There's so much more than he originally thought. Oh, it was really simple the whole time. Okay, they're in love. That's my sci-fi plot.
I felt like it was very much like a film noir type movie where it's a guy who's just kind of being taken to gather all of this information. He meets
for
up with this
else.
Person. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, totally.
He meets up with this person, and they, you know, give him all this info, and then he goes, and he gets another little bit of piece of the story, and then he just, you know, and also, too, what I caught was, I don't remember what it's called, but there's, like, a movie trope, specifically in, like, film noirs, where the detective, or whoever it is who's looking to solve the mystery, something always happens to their face.
Oh,
and they get injured on their face, like Jack Nicholson in Chinatown has the Band-Aid. And as I was thinking about that, boom.
There it was.
Ralph Fiennes gets cracked over the head, and he's got like this bandage covering half his eye.
It's like a physical representation of their knowledge or something.
Yes, yeah. And when I saw the last time I saw this movie, I don't think I was still yet picking up on film noir or whatnot, but it was a whole lot more. It became a different movie experience again, just knowing now, like, oh, this is kind of like a film noir. Nice.
Yeah.
I'm digging this.
Cool.
It's very stylized.
Yeah, absolutely. He has, like, a long coat and a tie all the time. He even talks about his ties.
Yeah.
He references the
wardrobe.
Blade Runner. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's great. So, awesome. Well, how about you give me your, what's the worst part of Strange Days, Ricky?
I have like, little moments here and there where I was just like, oh, that's not what I wanted to see happen right there. Specifically, just at the end, like you said, they fall in love.
Yep.
I did not want that to happen at all.
Right here, Ricky.
My note was, oh, go the Mulder Scully route.
That's exactly what I don't have Mulder and Scully, but I have almost exactly that in my notes.
Where it's like you don't need sometimes the two people. Even if there is some kind of, like, attraction, because you could tell, obviously, she was attracted to him.
They have chemistry. He's attracted to her in, like, a weird way that he's not showing it. But
yes.
They have absolute chemistry together.
Yeah.
Totally.
And I just would have preferred if they didn't, if they just didn't go that route. And also, it felt even more, those last couple minutes of the movie, they were really hitting it on the head. Like, the
God.
Rodney King beatings and just, like, cops the tension between cops and black people. I just felt like that was too much of a, hey, we can all get along moment in the end.
I didn't even, you know what, honestly, I didn't even really think about the interracial relationship in the context of what had just happened because it was so unearned to me that I like didn't even think about that until you just said that, which, wow, I can't believe they just did that.
Yeah, I would be really interested to see like if that's a studio note. Or if that, because it just doesn't seem like the movie is going in that direction until he turns around and is like, I'm going to go back.
Yeah.
I forgot
like
something.
She's in the car already. Yeah. It just doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah.
I would have even been more stoked if they had like a Lost in Translation ending.
That would have been, absolutely.
If they just
totally
talked
been on
to
board
each other
that.
And then went their separate ways.
We don't hear anything. I'm 100%
you know what?
On board with that.
If they went in a Pacific Rim direction where you're like, oh, I can't tell if they're just really... What I think what I have in my notes is I really wish they could have just been happy at the end to be like two humans that are just happy to be together in that time because they made it.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Like, people don't have to be in love with each other to be happy that they weren't murdered by people.
And it really is like a sad moment. I had forgotten about it when like she Angela Bassett has like the flashback to when she first meets Lenny. And she you just man, Angela Bassett. God,
God
that
damn
woman.
It. Yeah.
Oh. When she does, I don't know, she kind of like subtly says that, you know how much I love you or something, but you can just tell like, oh man, she really loves this guy.
Yeah.
And he has no idea.
Yeah,
he either has no idea or he's just too wasted right now to know what's going on.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally. So is that's your worst?
That is, and this is something I wanted to ask you specifically. This
probably going to be my other one.
There's a couple moments in here where we see the killer from his point of view murdering and raping these women. I didn't hate it like, how dare you do that?
Yes.
I was just like, God damn, man. Yes. I am watching from this guy's point of view this girl get murdered and raped. And it's really fucking uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
It's not my worst part. I was just like, oh, man, this is... Because the
it's
camera
intense.
Is right, you're,
I know.
You're that person.
Well, I would say, okay, so number one, I totally agree with you with the unearned ending, so I'll just skip to mine. And that is actually my worst. And it is my worst because in this context, it's just a horrible experience.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to bring up Kick-Ass 2 because you don't actually see a rape happen in Kick-Ass 2, but they talk about it and throw it around in such a flippant way that it's super offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this movie... do I think that they maybe could have made the same movie without rape being a part of it? Absolutely. Would it still have been like an effective crime thriller science fiction movie? 100%. But they didn't. It's a woman that directed it. I feel like she maybe has some understanding of what she's putting in there. And I think that the way that the characters, every single character, even the murderer himself... is appalled by what happens. Not a single person in the entire movie is like, yeah, but we could make so much money on this.
Mm-hmm.
Not one person ever even remotely is like, you know, like wavering on the fact that it's absolutely disgusting and we have to fix this. That is why it is like not okay that it's in there, but I understand it.
Yeah.
And the balance of those two things to me is what sort of like made it, I don't even want to say the word okay. It's just like,
no.
I understand why it's in there. She balanced it with people being disgusted.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was about to say.
But I
she
think
does
you
this...
could have made the same movie without it. You could have had someone murdering someone first point of view with that person seeing what that person was seeing, and that would still be terrifying.
Yeah.
I just think you don't always have to add that, because we see it so often in like Game of Thrones, or I had another movie in here, like the 300.
Mm-hmm.
Like when a woman is in danger, it's always on the table.
Mm-hmm.
How about we just take it off the table in movies and TV? It just doesn't have to be there.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean we're not acknowledging that this happens. It just means that we're not putting it in people's heads that it's always part of violence.
Yeah.
You know, like whenever it's a man, that's not part of what he's worried about. He's just worried about being killed, you know? So I guess that's how I feel.
Yeah. I think you hit it on the head with you see the characters reacting the way you're reacting.
Right.
So you're just like, yeah, man, I don't know if I want to.
I almost was like, I don't know. I can't believe I suggested we watch this because I forgot that it was in there. And I've seen this movie before.
Yeah.
And I forgot.
Yeah.
Ugh, it's intense. So let's move on to our best parts and rip into it, Ricky.
Best part, There's a couple of people in here who just kill it in this movie, and I forgot. Michael Wincott. Oh, he is the record executive. That line where he, I forgot, man, I was saying this
he
for a minute.
He is in Dead Man. You should check him out in Dead Man. He's brilliant in that.
When Ralph Fiennes comes to see, tries to see, what's her name?
Faith.
Juliette Lewis. And he says something about feeling between them. And then Michael Wincott's like, funny. And he puts his hand in front of her. I don't feel anything between you and Faith. That is a line right there. That is great. Angela Bassett.
Yep.
It is mind-boggling to me that woman has not had the career. She's had an amazing career. Illustrious.
Sure.
Fantastic. All that being said, she should be up there like on a Meryl Streep level.
Oh, for sure.
For the roles that she should have gotten, the roles that she has done, like this one, where she kills it. This is when you watch the movie and go, oh, there's your Storm for the X-Men. If you ever make Storm in the X-Men movies, that's who you cast.
I got to interrupt you, Ricky, because my best part of this movie is Angela Bassett.
Unbelievable.
And I wish she was Lenny. Honestly, she was so good in this movie. Like, I wish she was the star of the movie. And also, why is she not in more action movies? She should be in Expendables or whatever that bullshit is called. She should be the leader of that shit, the, like, grizzled, you know, tough, like, one last job.
Yeah.
Get Angela Bassett on that shit. We all know she has amazing arms, but she has some awesome action sequences in this.
She can whoop that ass.
And she is tough. And even when they fall in love at the end, she's still holding her own. She's still not, like, she just got the shit beat out of her by, like, cops and riot police.
Yep.
And she's still, like, holding it together. So Angela Bassett is my favorite part of this movie also. And the mini discs, of course. That's my other favorite. Awesome. So to conclude our review, Ricky, on a scale of 1 to 5, why is everyone kind of wet in this movies? How many why is everyone kind of wet in this movies do you give it?
I will give it 1 to 5. I will give it 4.
Whoa!
Yeah, I'm being generous this one.
More than prison escape plan and getting out of breaking.
More than prison break and escape plan. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
All right, cool. Well, I'm gonna give Strange Days 3 out of 5. Yeah, but have you seen Near Darks?
Ooh, I like that.
So.
Can
hey,
I change
close.
My answer?
Yeah.
I agree with that one.
3.
You like Strange Days.
Yeah.
Watch Near Dark.
Get in on Near Dark, for sure. And Zero Dark 30, whoo boy.
Have you seen Near Dark 30? Thank you, good night, I do comedy.
We had more of the show, but it's over now, so. Awesome. So, Ricky, what are you going to leave us with this week?
I would like to leave you with, this is a show plug that I have. I have a show on Saturday at the Meltdown. Which is
the
hot spot on Sunset Boulevard here in Los Angeles. I'm doing the Mo Show.
Cool.
Mo Welch is a talk show. It's a fun show. I am her sidekick on that show. This week we have Aaron Foley, who was just recently
so funny.
Conan. Yes, a wonderful comedian. The Walsh Brothers, very funny comedians.
Great dudes.
We have a show on Comedy Central online. And it's going to be a fun time. Saturday at 7 p.m. If you guys are looking for something to do. Come out and holler. That's what's up.
Cool, cool. I have a couple recommendations.
Oh, would you please?
I'm going to say you guys should listen to the new Policia album. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't listened to Give Up the Ghost, I believe is what their first album's called, check that out. It's super moody. I really dig it. I love it. But their new album's called Shulamith. And it takes a little getting used to, but I'm really liking it a lot. And then I would say if you've already watched Strange Days and you don't know the 90s very well, let's say maybe you were born 10 years ago. Well, not 10 years ago. 15 years ago. Watch Strange Days and then follow that up with Natural Born Killers.
Oh, yeah,
watch
absolutely.
Those two movies together, yep. And then you'll just understand the 90s. You won't need anything else. And you'll really understand Tom Sizemore.
And Julia Lewis. Both
Juliette
of them. Julia
Lewis. Yeah,
shout
exactly.
Shout out to Tom Sizemore in this movie.
I think that was another IMDb thing. That was two movies in a row that she got in a fight with Tom Sizemore on film. It's pretty funny. And then also, I really dug the AV Club's inventory of 1993, another 90s. It was very cool. Check that out. I love their inventories, this one specifically. And then also, this is my unfortunate recommendation that I have been watching and loving the shit out of New Girl, and I am very embarrassed about it. Please make me feel better and or bad. But it is really like, I was saying to Ricky and Lindsay earlier, it's really like 500 Days of Summer if you got to see it from the perspective of summer instead of stupid idiot dude that's in that movie.
How does the theme song to New Girl go, Rhea?
Hey, girl, what you doing? I love it. It's my ringtone. Awesome. Oh. Well, next week we're going to be reviewing Thor 2, which is in theaters. Thor 2 Electric Boogaloo.
That's right. That's what I'm dressed up. Why didn't I dress up as Thor 2 Electric Boogaloo?
That would be a great
Halloween
mashup.
Why didn't I not do that?
So good. So we're going to go see that in the theaters. You guys should go see that and then talk to us about it. So until next week, I am Rhea Butcher.
I am Ricky Carmona.
And you've been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Maximum Fun headquarters by Lindsay Pavlis. Thank you, Lindsay, and Maximum Fun, and thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.